There may be no crying in baseball, but there are lots of superstitions. Players don't step on the foul lines when they come off or onto the field. They never talk about a no-hitter in progress, and an increasing number of ballplayers would rather not stay in Milwaukee's historic Pfister Hotel. Milwaukee Public Radio's Mitch Tyke explains why teams visiting the Brewers often quake in their spikes.
Carlos Gomez had some tough moments in his first year as the Brewers' center fielder. He missed time with an injured shoulder, and it was only a strong September that allowed his batting average to close in on .250. Still, whatever trouble he had on the field this year pales in comparison to what he experienced off the field in 2008.
A lot of players got different kind of stuff. I don't know if it's true, but the one happened to me is 100% sure.
It was a Friday afternoon in June, and Gomez was then playing for the Minnesota Twins. The Twins, like many visiting major league teams, stayed at the Pfister Hotel in downtown Milwaukee. The game wasn't until that night, and Gomez had just woken up from a nap when he noticed something was a little off about his room. First, he says the lights he had left on were now off, and the lights he had left off had been turned on. But there was more.
And I stopped putting my clothes, I put my underwear, and I leave my iPod in the bed. And my iPad started changing the music by itself. I hear kind of noise, like they change the music. And I go touch, and before that I touch, they stop. And when I back out to a step back, they start again. I come back, touch, they start. And I'm taking my shoes and my pants, and I be in no t-shirt. I'm running my room and underwear. I put in my pants and my shirt in the lobby.
Yes, if you were in the lobby of the Pfister Hotel that day, that was a Major League Baseball player you saw in his underwear before he grabbed a cab and headed for Miller Park. So, okay, in the grand scheme of things, lighting changes and a rogue iPod don't rank up there with the spookiest scenes in The Exorcist or the most chilling scenes in Poltergeist. But the experience shook Carlos Gomez enough that he confided about it to his first base coach, who was sufficiently creeped out that he slept that night with the lights on and the curtains open. And the next time the Twins came back to Milwaukee...
And I can't sleep, you know. And last year, we come here to the four-game series, and I stay all night long in the lobby.
So for Gomez, the best part of his trade to the Brewers may not have been the promise of a starting outfield job, but knowing he no longer had to stay at the Pfister. But there are plenty of unfortunate major leaguers who have not had the good luck to end up in a Brewers uniform and are still subject to the supernatural goings-on at the Pfister. Mickey Bradley and his colleague Dan Gordon have compiled many of their stories in the book Field of Screams, which devotes an entire chapter to the haunted hotel.
You started hearing about the same places over and over, certain fields that they said were haunted and certain hotels. And one of the hotels that we heard about repeatedly was the Pfister in Milwaukee. Lots of guys either had stories there themselves, they said, or knew of other things that had happened to other ballplayers.
And Bradley points out that these are not just bench players looking to get some notoriety any way they can.
All right, Lincecum is one of my favorites.
That's Tim Lincecum, who you might already know from winning two straight Cy Young Awards and who was now pitching in the World Series for the San Francisco Giants.
At about 4 in the morning, he said he heard a knocking on his door, a pressing on his door, and he just refused to open the door. He flipped the latch on it, and he sort of retreated to the bed and turned on the lights to sleep with the lights on for the rest of the night because he wasn't going to go near that door.
In fact, several players in this year's World Series say they've had ghostly encounters at the Pfister. Colby Lewis, tonight's expected starter for the Rangers, reportedly saw an apparition in his room when he visited this summer. And Texas catcher Matt Traynor was with the Florida Marlins when he and a teammate heard knocking on the wall. Writer Mickey Bradley describes what came next.
A few moments later, they heard the screaming of a child, and this is something that people report in the Pfister on a regular basis. They hear a young child, Traynor said he thought about 6 or 7 years old, screaming in the hallway. They opened the door, there's nobody there.
Unlike his cowering colleagues, though, Traynor sought out the ghost his next time through Milwaukee, leading his friends on a late night and unfruitful ghost hunt through the Pfister's hallways. All right, so what is going on at the Pfister? The Rangers' C.J. Wilson set the scene to ESPN Radio in Dallas shortly after he had his own frightening night there.
It's creepy, straight up. It's like something out of, you know, like Eastern Europe or whatever, stylistically.
15-game winner and architectural historian C.J. Wilson aside, the Pfister is maybe described better as old world. The building itself was built before the turn of the century, the last century, in the Romanesque Revival style. Victorian artwork hangs from the walls of an ornate grand lobby, and a real live piano player accompanies the less-than-spooky business lunches going on at the restaurant. Joe Kurth is the hotel's general manager.
I have heard so many stories about the spirit of hospitality within the Pfister.
That is partly marketing speak, but it's also history.
The iconic feeling of the lobby, the grand staircases you walk in, there have been suggestions that Charles Pfister, that grand iconic gentleman at the turn of the century, occasionally stops by to check on the well-being of his guests.
Kurth has been at the hotel for 3 years and says he has not experienced ghosts, either of a benevolent or a mischievous nature, but he's heard the stories ballplayers have told. And so has Allison Jornlin, who runs the website MilwaukeeGhosts.com. And she's not convinced that Charlie Pfister is the ghost playing with lights and iPods of ballplayers.
Certainly, they're not experiencing that same kind-hearted ghost that is seen overseeing the hospitality of his hotel. It seems like they're actually getting more of a prankster entity that is giving them a hard time.
Jornlin says all the stories from ballplayers make a pretty persuasive case for, well, something. But she's calling for players like C.J. Wilson, Adrian Beltre, and Tim Lincecum to go one step further for the cause of science.
It's really important, if something is really going on here, that the team members who've had experiences understand, you know, how important their experiences are to people who are serious investigators in the paranormal field.
She says investigators would ask fact-based questions like exact times and locations, and more philosophical ones, like whether baseball players are being targeted specifically. If that's the case, someone with a higher authority would have to order such an investigation. And as we stand in front of the Pfister Hotel, the full moon rises over the office of the baseball commissioner, right across the street. A call to Bud Selig's office went unreturned. For Only a Game, I'm Mitch Tyke in Milwaukee.